temporarily and have plans to import it out, and I think we can proceed. We had some intense focal discussion yesterday and some parts of this morning, focusing on deviations and expansions, as well as irregular surplus and wasteful expenditure. And we can't say that our discussion was exhaustive of the issues. But I think the general thrust and the principles around what we're interested in, what we want to see done, how we want to see things done, was sufficiently demonstrated, if only we had enough time. Then have gone through all the matters that needed to be dealt with, because issues of irregular expenditure, each item is a standalone and requires its own investigation, its own conclusion, and its own course of action, depending on the findings. So, they therefore cannot be generalized. However, in terms of our attitude, in terms of our expectations, I think the principal position is consistent. Firstly, the PSMA enjoins the accounting officer to present regular, fruitless, and wasteful, as well as unauthorized expenditure. And that if such has occurred, they need to be promptly investigated for confirmation or otherwise, and once confirmed, to be investigated so that it is either condoned or action is taken against the officials who have committed or have caused the department or the entity to have such irregular expenditure. Fruitless, of course, case issues of recovery and stuff. So the principle is the same. And what we do not want is a situation where you have irregular expenditure that 2 years, 3 years, 4 years old, because it means it is not being attended to. We've seen entities that are qualified because the completeness of their irregular expenditure cannot be compared. So I think that is the point. On expansions and deviations, show National Treasury is here, the AG is here. Our position is that these must be used only in exceptional circumstances, but But even if you were to be bringing a turnaround strategy, it will probably fail. In fact, it will fail if you bring a turnaround strategy where there is inefficiency and weak control. In fact, non-existing leadership control in the department. Having said that, Chair, I would like to request you that you allow the DDGs that have been here not to be spectators on this match. Anyone who is involved in any of the questions that we are about to do today and ask, can they be given an opportunity to ask? Because when the DG fails to give us an answer, and last night I could observe that about three of the DDGs were signaling that they know the answer. So, with us trying to drill down to how did the department get here, who's responsible, and how are we going to make sure that the person gets attended to properly, we ought to get the answers we require. I'll request your authority to allow them to answer you.
We dealt with the question last night. It was still last night, not this morning. And I think that last comment of the minister, I would say, of course you can't unhear what you've heard, but I would want you to put it very much to the fore. Because if we do so, it can become problematic. It can become problematic. If we take what is said, then the logical question becomes, what is it doing about it? If it acknowledges that there is somebody who doesn't have the capacity, what is it doing about it? Not us to tell him to go to the president and make a request to get someone to scanner. But we shouldn't tell us that there are capacity constraints. All for creeping under position. Otherwise we'll say that can actually be used to serve other ends. So I wouldn't want us to play into that space, because once they leave here, that public pronouncement, what is its implication for operations out there? Because it has been said and was entertained and confirmed. So I would personally say, at this point in time, there is an acting DG who has assumed all power and responsibility. And I said yesterday, what I don't want us to help create are pockets of knowledge that sits and resides with individuals and are not at the disposal of those who legitimately must know, use that information to provide leadership. At the level of principle, to get people to assist with responses, we have always done. But I wouldn't want us to just saying the unintended consequences might be those kind of things, and we don't want it to. I think if there's one person of interest who unfortunately I do not know officially, it's the CEO of Berlin Northern Water. I think that's the person who specifically said today when the team is implementing agents, he should be here. Not to take away the leadership of the acting DG, but because it is just one implementing agent that day. Quite a number of the things we're dealing with in the first day, that entity features a lot. And we wanted to use it to have a sense of how this operates. So I think let's try and keep it that way and see how it goes.
Thank you. not for 2 months, then finance people have corrected the error. They are saying it is from April 2017 to March 2018. So I just need to be that error and say it was a error of the house. Can you see that? The question is how the accrual occurred. The main reason of the accrual is that the department was making financial. As a result, from time to time, there was stopping of payment by the then acting CFO and by the, at one point, was an acting CFO who also indicated that as a result of the situation of the payment. The second question of how we are intending to do that is a reprivatization of the virus. We continue to reprivatize. And we have also, a decision taken that we should not embark on this program. We should focus so that we realize meaningful impact instead of simply spreading the budget over too many projects and not being able to complete those projects. One of the reasons that the accruals of the previous year have not yet been 100% paid is that some of them have got disuse. There are no sufficient documents to justify the payments. And so in some instances, the invoices have been returned to the service providers because once they stay with us for long, it's like we are the ones that don't want to pay when the actual thing is that there are no sufficient documents to justify payment.
How much are we talking about, DJ?
The remaining amount is 81.6 million.
Is that what you have on your books as accrual?
Yes, that's what I have here as accruals and payables.
Can you please utilize the document, Annexure 3, accruals and payables, for the financial year 2017-2018? Go to page 7 and read for us the total amount of accruals and payables there, reflected there.
17-18, we have 537 million. And 16-17.
No, that's fine. It was 17-18, so she has read the figure. 537 million.
So it's not even anywhere close to the figure you gave us. Because you're strategizing on 81 million when your current budget that's appropriated to you already is going to come into your department and already is sitting at advance of 537 million. And let me add to that before you give us again the plan on how you're going to make sure that the books are clean. The total amount of on the main account of payables not recognized, I take it you know the financial principles in terms of what does it mean? Why does a payable not recognized mean? You're sitting at 1.4 billion. That's because of what the Auditor General said. There were insufficient funds in your account. That's how you get to lend to a not recognized payable. Because a not recognized payable talks to your commitment. Your commitments are not equivalent to the budget you have. You're sitting at accruals of 537. You have an unrecognized payable of 1.4 billion. Where are you going to get that money?
What I was responding to are the figures at the moment that we are left with 81.6 that has not been paid. Now, the other amount that has been paid thus far is 1.922. That has already been paid.
What is 1.9?
It's 1.9 billion.
So you paid the 1.9 billion to all these departments. List of accruals you've given us. Four pages. Is that what you're talking to, or you mean the payables that are not recognized in your book?
If you have
paid 1.9 billion, it means you've covered up everything. Because if you have paid 1.9 billion when you have payables that are not recognized of 1.4 billion and accrual of 537, so it means you've paid up everything. Your books are almost clean. And where did you get that money from? Because it was not there.
Honorable Chair, I'm speaking to the figures that I'm given by the CFO. So it's going to be difficult for me to say where you get the money from, because that is what is reflected here as being paid as at the 4th of December.
So what you got from the acting CFO was just a statement that we have paid, without any breakdown or indication whether you have read it or not, but to say, look, this is what we have paid, and then there's an attachment that would talk to these are the entities that we have paid, these are the ones that are outstanding, and so the amount becomes 8 million that is outstanding. Just switch on the mic.
I was hoping, Chair, that he would be able to explain this to the committee.
No, he should explain to you first. He must explain to you first, not to us, because it's answerable to you. You are the acting DG. He must talk to you first. He mustn't tell us things you don't know. If that was the case, when you compile this file, why didn't you have this, which we have, and then an addendum that says this is how it was at the end of the year, but as we're coming before you, this is the situation.
The list, the only list that I have in front of me here, Chair, are those that have not yet been paid. The ones that I spoke to, to say that
No, I understand. What I'm saying is that the list that we have, which we have submitted, Annex 3, it should then logically have been accompanied by this new information that you're giving us. Because here you have listed all the companies and entities that you are owing as at the end of March 2018. Then you should then have put an additional updated information so that when you say to us, yes, this is what we had end of March, but between then and now, this is the progress that we have made. Then that would have assisted us, because then we'll be able to see for ourselves that, oh, okay, so these are the ones that are outstanding, and these are the ones that have already been paid. It would have made things very, very easy.
Yes, Chair, it would have, but I just want to explain that I had explained since the first day I came. I said I came with the team so that the team can help me respond. And, Chair, between yesterday and now, there was limited time for me to get all the information as per the first engagement where details were required. And I thought, Chairperson, it's unfortunate that I am the only one that is supposed to be answering, but I actually thought...
What unfortunate? You're the only one with the title acting teacher. There are the two people. And if you look at the PFMA, there's one accounting officer, that's you. So I'm just saying, think about it. Next time when you provide information, if there's any update, I'm just saying it will be complete, neat and correct to say this is what we had at the end of the financial year, but between then and now, this is what we've done. Because when you then say to commitment, it's only 8 million that is outstanding. So that's why she said go to page 7, because the information that you have provided says to us it's 500 million. It's just that. Commitment?
You know, Chairperson, sometimes I'm not sure how the ministers do their oversight on this project. If we were to cite just one example, that 1.9 billion has been paid of accrual, that's a good thing. That's the best. Like, we would sit here with a very clear conscience that the department is getting life, no longer sitting on the mine. But let me cite one example for you. You see there on page 2, your first page of the list of accrual, you have Amatole District Municipality. which you were owing 32 million. I would put it to you now. You take your cell phone and call the Amatole District Municipality and ask if there's water at Dutch. There's no water at Dutch. And they say there's no money. The councillors in Amatole, they haven't been paid. There's no money in that municipality. When are you paid them? But did you go check that you have paid them out of the 1.9 billion? I take it that 32 million of Amatole was paid. Why there isn't movement in terms of giving service?
See, comrade. Comrade Mende, the point I was making about their updated list, it would assist and would avert your question, because then you would be able to look at those that have been paid or those that have not been paid, and you would know whether Amatole is among those who have been paid or it falls among those who have not been paid. Yes, in the 8 million that is outstanding. So now you'll ask about Amatole. I was looking for Pushback Ridge. I don't see it here, to check if it is also booked or it has been paid. And she will be looking for Musukaligwa, and you will be looking for Mangao, just like that. Because, well, you will be looking for Machabing, you know. So, the absence of that updated list, then you are going to go and say, has Amatole been paid? And she will say, I don't know, because she also does not have that list. Just a minute.
Thank you, Chair. I don't mean to interrupt the Honourable. As a point of departure on this payment, can the DG tell us, I would imagine, Chair, that if you have got unrecognizable payables to the tune of 1.5 billion and you've got accruals and payables of 537 million, that you would have an interest on the progress report of payments in terms of the schedule. Now, the question becomes, to what extent was he involved in the finalization of these payments and their facilitation? Because they remained a red flag. And when did she receive the information before her now? I just can't accept, Chair Wuthi, she would receive that information now or yesterday. Wuthi, and if you're looking at quarter-to-quarter reporting, month-on-month, quarter-to-quarter, was this just one payment done overnight? Can we just drill down to the sequence of events about this? I can't take it to the DG will just not know about because these are things which she has said she was not there. These are things happening when she is there. So they sort of just, can we just drill down to that? Because otherwise it speaks to what you spoke about, pockets of information.
Honorable Chair, I did ask for a list of accruals that are paid. I did ask from the DCFO, not in preparation for SCOPA, Not yesterday, but it is information that I keep asking. That, you know, we need to know how far we are, who we have paid and who we have not paid. And he kept telling me that he has the list. So it is not that, it is not
just,
that.
No, just a minute, I think I missed that part. You asked for the list of those who have been paid, and what happened?
He said you were going to email a chairperson that list to that of accruals that were paid. I remember that we even had a discussion of, now that we are in this financial situation, how are we prioritizing, how are we how are we prioritizing who to pay and who not to pay? And he said it quite clearly that because they are accruals we have to pay them. We have to pay them for the end of the financial year. So all that he needed to do was to provide a list. So that is the list that I also expected that it would be here, Chair. It's unfortunate that I don't have it, but here is he. I've been looking at him to provide me with a list.
Okay. So did he end up giving you the list? That's what I want. He never gave you the list. Funa just to rule agash. So you he said he was going to email. Did he email?
Chair, sitting here, I can't tell whether he eventually emailed or not because I'm not looking at my mic. But that is part of the information that
all
I
right,
requested to the file.
Now let's rephrase it. Did you receive the information that you requested?
No, Chair.
This is precise. You know, I do not know what is wrong with this department, honestly speaking, or whether there is a deliberate attempt to undermine the acting DG or to make fools and idiots out of us. Honestly speaking, Chairperson, we are sitting here day in, night out, having to tolerate what I now am just compelled to call borderline nonsense. I do not know why in the heavens everybody thinks they're an island of their own and have got no due regard for accountability. I maintain.
All right. No, let's do it this way. So when you requested information, did it have time frames? Like say, I want this information by tomorrow or by next week. Or you just said, I need this information, and he said, well, I'll provide it, and then days and weeks just went by. The deadline, time frame.
It is not in all instances that I give a deadline, Honorable Chair. I must be honest. It's not in all instances. There are instances where I give a deadline, but not in all instances.
Well, what I was coming at is that, you see, in the absence of deadline, it might be that he had decided to give you the information next week or next year. Now, if you want information and there are no deadlines, there are no timelines, then how do you manage the workflow from? Because the next thing I was going to ask you is, as the acting DG, who, as we said, has authority over all these people because of your position, what then did you do when you did not receive the information that you requested from your subordinates, from your junior, about work that they must produce? No, I'm asking you, acting, what did you do? You once asked for information, the information did not come. And you are sitting here now, you are telling Parliament that you have paid, you're only having 80 million outstanding, which would be a very, very wonderful turn of events. But you can't confirm it because you don't have the information. Your junior did not submit it to you. As long as it's in line with it.
It's a question of principle. I know that people who are working for government, they get what you call performance bonus. And if you did not perform the way you are supposed to be performing, then you don't get that. So I wanted to check, because I wanted to check the acting DG. I wanted to check with her, when she asked for this information, does she phone them and say, hello, I need ABC? Or does she write it down? Because if she's not writing down and they talk casually, obviously, the information will come casually as well, and that will affect people's bonuses. Maybe that's what we need to deal with, to check if they are really getting bonuses, because if they're not giving information or they're not doing what they were supposed to be doing, Sangwa would call it dereliction of duty and insubordination of its own kind. So I just wanted to find that out.
All right. No, I think let's just take that one part about the request for information. Was it communicated in writing, or was it telephonical, or was it just verbal? But also linked to when you did not get information, what did you do as the acting DG?
Honourable Chair, in the course of duty, especially the hectic nature of the environment as an adult, you may request for information from an individual, but may not have the time to follow up and check and do all those things that need to be done on all issues. I'm not saying I don't check at all. I'm saying on all issues and on all matters. Honourable Chair, I did indicate to this committee, reminded the committee that I'm only 6 months in this role. And I am trying, I have to also work at getting the support of the team. I have to learn to understand them. Remember, most of them were just my colleagues. They were not reported to me. So I have to learn to understand the person. And with the hectic nature of the department, it is very, 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 very distant. So I thought that I would prioritize certain things and do my best, which is what I still believe I am doing. And I want to believe that when I've asked a senior person to do something, that person will do exactly that. So I'm now placed in a very, 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 very difficult situation. If you say, what did I do to him, and I haven't even had time to say to him, where is that list that I've requested, then it becomes a difficult question to answer, Honorable Chair. And it is not necessarily dereliction of duty. It is not. I must submit. It is not. So, in the rush of coming here, I didn't even have time to say. But where is that list that I requested in the pack? But if, because I was coming with him here, Chairperson, I expect that when the list is required, you will just give me the list so that I can then respond.
Order, Chair. Order. No, Chair. We are being abused now. We are seriously being abused. Chair, leadership, okay, let me do leadership 101. Common sense. Ntombi sends the letter on everything we need. We receive this file. Not from heaven, not from anywhere else, from them. Now, leadership 101, this is what we ask, Akua, and the analysis. Your thinking, your immediate thinking then become, accruals and payables, Auditor General gave us this, this was the financial status at the end of the financial year. These are the outcomes of the Auditor General. Now we must go and account. When you go and account, you're not accounting on what the Auditor General gave you. You want to know what were your actions. So your immediate thinking should be the status, the last status as required by AG, our action. That's what was supposed to come in. So if finance could be able to give you this accrual, the list, break it down and everything, I can tell you now that this was just withdrawn from archives because this is what was given to AG as the financial statements to audit. There hasn't been any effort to compile and consolidate the current status of the organization. That's just leadership 101. What you did was to just go to archives and took information, give it to them. That's what they want. We're being abused now to being told, no, I've asked. CFO should know. I give you this, This is now my action. I don't know why we're getting such an excuse of an answer now.
All right. No. And I'm happy that you did not do it. To want to ask the CFO why has he not submitted. We are not his immediate boss. It's her who must ask him why he has not submitted, not us. Asking him on her behalf. Now, you see, acting DG, I think even Zolo, the other day you were talking about you've been there for 6 months, it's hectic, you're trying your best. I hear that. And I don't want to say maybe your best is not good enough. Can take Lengua to give his best to play for Arsenal. Can give his best. But his best might not be enough for him to get into the team. So to say I'm doing my best, I hear it and accept it as subjective effort. But in relation to the objective environment and situation of the department, maybe the best is not good enough. Your best is not good enough. If you are chasing after issues and not working in a systematic and controlled manner, then you are going to have that situation. And I think the simple point we're making is you are saying you were concerned about who have we paid, who have we not paid. But when they give you this list, that does not indicate who has been paid, whether there have been any payments since March. You did not inquire to say, but are you saying since March to date, we have not paid anybody? And if they say, we have paid, who have we paid? So that when you talk to us, you are able to give us a complete picture, just like you have done with the status as at the end of March. You have given details of each and every entity that that is owed. I think that's the point we're making, that to say it's 8 million and stop there, it's not good enough, at least for us, because it doesn't say anything. And to say you want information from your subordinates and don't give them timeline. By when do you need that information? It cannot be considered a good practice of leadership. Certainly not. Certainly not. Ross Kekane, then back to Fem.
In our question, I defined the 1.890 0.054 paid to the accruals. If we look at the audited outcomes 2017-18, certainly this should reflect in that outcomes. It was a payment done, and it should be reflecting in the financial statements of 31st March 2018. Now, what I see in the 2017-18 audited outcomes as presented to us, in terms of payments to entities, the departmental agencies, and accounts, we see an actual expenditure of 1.8. Now, my question would be to the DG, if she looks it up at the financial statements, perhaps she can consult them with the finance people. Will this perhaps be included in this, in the 1.8 actual payment, actual expenditure in departmental agencies and accounts? Where else can it reflect? And the auditors can also assist.
No, Ross, she's saying between March 2018 and today, they have paid 1.9. Yes, it is between March this year and now. And I think the drift of our questioning was, okay, why was that update not included in the pack that was sent to us? Kumrit Kekan?
No, thanks, Chair. It is just unfortunate that you have realized this now. Yesterday, I clearly indicated that when we were asking questions, fortunately, I deliberately did not want to participate yesterday. I was looking at the reaction of the officials here. And I said that yesterday, looking at their gestures, clearly one would indicate that they were sabotaging this department. And when questions were asked to the acting DG, you could see some of them, that is facial, that they are not a team. I saw them. And I made that comment yesterday. And exactly that's what they are doing. Now, I really don't understand as to what is it that they want us to do. Because that talks to other DGs that has resigned, that is in the department. Because clearly the sabotage, actually, is not at the top. It's with, that is the DDGs and all those people. I think maybe what we then need to do is to talk to the political leadership in that department to try and facilitate the appointment of the DG. Because if you are going to have your colleague that is acting in a position and get people who are not prepared to cooperate as they are not prepared to cooperate, you're not going to get any answer.
But Comrade Kekan, if you are the acting DG, and you ask for information, and you don't follow up, you don't give timeline. If there are people who want to sabotage you, why can't they?
Chair, fortunately, I was an HOD. I used to work with mafias like this ones. I know exactly how they behave. And that is why yesterday I was looking at that is their behavior. Unfortunately, there's nothing. The department is collapsing. They don't have that is the interest of this department at heart. It is just unfortunate. I hear what you're saying, and I know what the provisions of the Act is saying, that the accounting officer, it is that is the DG. And in this case, we are dealing with the acting DG. It's not a permanent DG. It is worse. Unfortunately, if we can get commitment that is from the team, because I really don't understand why do we have a big delegation of people who are just sitting here and doing nothing. Because my understanding is they are here to support the acting DG. Unfortunately, they are not. They are just on holiday. And this is unacceptable.
Okay, the mafia reference does not refer to anyone here. It refers to those who are sabotaging, and I'm sure they are not here. But wherever they are, he is referring to them. Shengwa?
No, Chair, no, I want to emphasize what I said earlier, that the acting DG may, in the most unlikely of cases, be justified to say these things happened when she was not there. But I still maintain she was. She was a DDT and she's part of the top management. So I do not buy that one. But let's assume I do, in the unlikely event that I do. The payments we're talking about now happened when she was there. And Chair, a program was given for the purposes of this hearing. Now, if the DG sort of wants to now distance herself from this file in the manner in which I'm hearing, it becomes a problem to me. That's the first thing. Secondly, Chair, I would, you know, anybody who is acting, most often than not, always have the ambition to actually occupy the position they're acting in full time. So this is an opportune moment for the acting DG to prove her clout and establish her authority as
a front runner. She's actually got the added advantage of interview on the job, so to speak. Now, I therefore cannot accept the reference which I'm still trying to understand my colleagues and so on. I doubt that her job is to understand, but her job is to assert authority and ensure and effect accountability. I cannot chairperson in good faith accept the fact that when a program was given, and last week we had the same story. Yesterday and this morning we had the same story. We want the details from the DG. Not anybody else. And I would suggest that you don't gesture when Honorable Kigane makes the things that he does in the manner that you do, because that presents another thing which is a problem. Those gestures that you made through you, Chair, I think you must just desist from doing that. Now, Chair, because it's exactly what he's been speaking about. Now, Chair, I would like you, Chair, to take us, if we can, not suspend, but let us go to the sequence of events of these payments. Because the DG can't sit here and say all that she expected was a report, because these are all general findings. These are things which were raised in the management letters. Anybody's expectation is that you would have a vested interest as the accounting officer to make sure that you meticulously go through what the AG has found. So it cannot be, Chair, which, and by the way, this DG said she had not requested this information for the purposes of SCOPA. So it was not about this. She had requested it for something else. Coincidentally, then SCOPA. So it actually speaks to the fact that had we not even had this hearing, that would not have happened. I requested last week and reminded last night. I'm still interested, Chair, in the financial statement of the bank statement of the department as at the 30th of November. I deliberately asked for it last week, because I knew what these accruals and payables were coming up, because we need to ascertain the manner of payment and where the money came from. Now, seated here, I would expect that the DG would have actually appraised herself diligently and thoroughly with the nuances of these tables. As a topic presented to her, would this is going to be a session, it's a focus area. Honestly, I'm not one to get easily frustrated, but and I've got no intention of getting there. But I really think that the DG at this point owes us an explanation and take us into full confidence as to the nature and process that was followed in the compilation of this file, so that we actually understand whether it was a collective exercise, because as I put it in the early hours of this morning, was it just a paper mill thrown at the committee? Because seemingly, it's as if these things are being learned as we go through them. The only people who have succinctly read this whole document is ourselves. So can we actually just, because I'm now interested, Chair, what preparation went into this? What briefings were given to the DG? She can't be receiving information nati here. I mean, this may seem like it's a deviation from the course. We'll go back to payables. But the established practice of communication is, when ESCOM meets, when the top management is, what do they discuss, Mr. Chair? Are they not discussing how far we will audit a general finding on other things? This thing, or what, there's a lot of things happening. It doesn't fly, Chair. So can we just go back to those fundamental basics? Because I am now beginning to doubt the integrity of this file.
All right. Okay. Comrade Boy, I'll come to you. But I want us to, let's round this and go back. Remember what we discussed last night? We must remain focused. Drill until water comes out of the rock.
No, Chair, I was going to caution you about that. That is, you said they're giving encouragement to lead. And it seems everybody wants to have a say around this matter. and it put commitment and feedback. And the questions just asked for, if she's not able to sustain them, it can be a little bit of a problem. So if you could just maintain that not everybody speaks, so that we ask our questions on commitment is satisfied, which whoever she's asked, that have they done the work or not. I just wanted you to be able to maintain that discipline. Because if she's not going to be able to finish her task, it then brings a problem in that when she was given an opportunity, she couldn't ask the necessary questions that she was prepared to ask the teacher. You see, the one thing that you must always question the teacher, in her spreading of leadership, the Auditor General of Court knew authority to study the accounting office when they have not done their work in relation to auditing, in relation to account. She's the one responsible. They're not going to come there. The Auditor General is not going to come there and look all over. He's going to direct his energy to the accounting office. And that's what the law is going to be doing. Now she wants us to give a new authority to spread all over. And then what? So she must be able to, while assisting her, not ourselves, but assisting her to know that she's the accounting office. And you wrote that into law again with the Auditor General's new power, that there's an accounting officer who must account. If she can stick to that, clearly she's not ready in the report. What she gives us here is not even known by herself. I agree with Honorable Triangle to say that we must begin having cast aspersion towards the accounting officer that doesn't know anything about the file itself. But I didn't want us to arrive at that now. I wanted us to stick to what commitment is giving direction on. And then when we come in here with our questions, we clear that women has played a role, and then we can come in.
All right. No, that's fine. Comrade Kuno, and then let's go back to just that this sticky point around the supposed payment of 1.9 billion between March and now just spiraled in its own direction. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. As part of squeezing water out of the rock, I hope I'm not going to be called to...
Ross and Comrade Kika.
Yeah, Chairperson, I hope I'm not going to be called on order. I'm a very practical person. The gentleman there is supposed to give the list. Do you have the list, yes or no? Do you have the list? Look at Zaka Clark. Give it to her.
Yeah, no. Yeah, can you switch off the mic, Moran? I don't want you to give it to her on her instruction, because you don't report to her, you report to her. So we're not going to run between the two of you deliberately. But I hear what you're saying. I'm sure we'll come back to that point.
8 of PFMA is quite clear, Chairperson. Whether she's acting or not, she has full power of a DG. So, I just wanted to put that on record.
No, that's fine. That's why I said even yesterday that she either leads or does not lead, because whether she's acting or not, the law grants her the power, all the powers to, you know, to lead. Commitment?
I get what you are saying in terms of they report to her. She's failing to ask them. And we know the list is there. We have to tell them that they must do it, because she doesn't tell them to do it. Nevertheless, I see there's a laptop flying. I don't know why it's not being emailed. There's technology these days. A laptop is flying, and when it switches off, she will still not know. where the information is. Can you email it to her? So that she emails it to Ndombi, and Ndombi can make us copies now. That's what we want to have access to. Because that we want to determine that you paid 1.9 billion, good enough. Who did you pay the 1.9 billion to? We're sitting here, we're members of parliament. We have constituencies, we go to people, they don't have water, there's no infrastructure, there's nothing. Yet when I say you have paid. Okay, in continuing, Chair, the issue of the accruals and the payables that are not recognized are the major contributing factor to the going concern of the department. So if you have supposedly have paid 1.9 billion, it means your going concern status is almost a thing of the past. And the Auditor General said to you, you will not enter into any new projects over the next 3 years for efficient utilization of the available budget. Payments will continue to be monitored and coordinated from head office to confirm availability of funds and budget. And the request of approval of unauthorized expenditure in line with the normal parliamentary processes and normal monthly reporting and consequence management to address non-compliance with revised policies and procedures. The last line talks to what was shaking Hlengwa up. Normal monthly reporting and consequence management to address non-compliance with revised policies and procedures. Which of these four areas have you followed?
Honourable Chair, I'm not finding the statement from which he's reading, but I got the two areas.
Page 250 of the annual report under the going concern, item number 2, accounting policies for the year ending.
The issue of monitoring from national office, the CFO has been doing that as per the report that he has provided the top management. And the consequence management to address non-compliance is what I reported yesterday. Where investigations are concluded and there is confirmation or a pointing to wrongdoing, we do take measures.
Before I ask the following question, have you entered into any new projects?
Switch the mic on.
We haven't entered into new projects. It was a decision that was taken that you will not enter into new projects. That is why even on any other besides, just besides the construction project, even the appointment of PSPs in the department, we have been very, very careful not to do that.
Can you repeat that? Except for what? Because it says, will not enter into any new project over the 3 years of the efficient utilization of the available budget.
Honorable Chairperson, I am saying we haven't entered into new projects in the in this financial year.
But you qualified it except for contract something something. I couldn't pick that up.
I was saying that even with the non-construction projects, even those, we are very, very strict on not entering into.
But I thought you used the word except for. I had the except for. Because it appeared as if you're saying, yes, we're not entering into new projects except for. That was the part we didn't hear.
Okay. All right, Chair. I don't know how I said except for. If I did, let me withdraw that.
Now, DG, I'm going to ask this again. Payments continue to be monitored and coordinated from head office to confirm availability of funds and budget. And you read it with the normal monthly reporting. Who conducts those sessions in the head office? It strictly tells you everything else now must be monitored from the head office on a month-to-month basis. And you consolidate reports. To check the status continuously. Who conducts those meetings?
It is the CFO, but in, that's what I say, but also in management meetings, the CFO provides a report on financial management.
Did you tell earlier on our information? You were ordered to hold month to month. CFO is the one conducting meetings in terms of this and dealing with the accruals and payables, which is the going concern of your organization. You're sitting here, you're saying you have no knowledge of what's paid and what's not paid. Do you sit in those meetings?
Honorable Chair, there are financial management meetings that are held by the CFO with the finance people at various stations, which we call regional. That is his job. And I said that in management meetings, I have insisted that in management meetings he provides us with information on financial management. The question earlier where I said I didn't have is the list of what has been paid, the list of accruals that has been paid, who has been paid there. That is what I said. But I also need to indicate that in asking for what has been paid, the consistent answer that I've been getting was that we have paid for everything except for the hotspots in the Northwest province, which a payment I held back because of non-supporting documentation from the implementing agency. and the qualification of the job that is done. That is what I meant, Honorable Chair.
We're getting some. So this list of accruals, all of it has been paid except for anything that's Northwest. In fact, hotspots in Northwest. I'm going to ask again.
I heard the question, and I'm mentioning that, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, because this morning I was then given a list which points to other areas other than the Northwest.
Let's do a simple exercise again. Is Amatole in the list that's not paid?
No, it's not.
It's paid. Did you verify that it's paid and the services are being rendered?
Did I verify whether Amatole was paid and whether the services were rendered? Is that the question, Honorable Chair? Okay. I would not have done that personally, but the process is that before payment is done, there is that verification. And that is why this 81.6 million that is not yet paid as a result of the verification process and the disputes and lack of supporting documentation.
DG, let's take it to general terms. How do you make sure that you have value for money in every payment that you make? How do you measure your value for money?
The contract manager has the responsibility to ensure that there's value for money before they submit invoices for payment. That's how it happens. On the construction project, there's a quantity surveyor who goes out, and that is the report that I got from the DDG, that the quantity surveyors to go out together with the project manager to verify that. But in that, she also qualified that because there's lack of capacity and there are so many projects that are running in the department, the quantity surveyor is unable to visit all projects. And therefore, there is reliance on the project manager.
Hello, DG. I think it's simple and good enough for you to give us the rules. But not to follow the rules to the latter then becomes problematic. If 32 million is paid to Amatole and yet Amatole does not have water, what does that say to you in simple terms in relation to value for money?
Honorable Chair? It depends on what the 32 million was for, because there are, and also depends on where that project of the 32 million is in relation to the entire area of Amatole, the Amatole area. So it's going to be very difficult for me to say they don't have water because of ABCD, and that is why Honorable Chair, there are regional heads placed in those areas to be able to assess the situation and to be able to assist the municipalities.
Okay.
But also let me indicate that in most instances, the issues of water, I'm saying in most instances, I'm qualifying it, is water services, which is an area that resides in municipalities and not necessarily a responsibility of the department.
Chair, as far as the accruals are concerned and the payables are concerned, I think I'm going to stop that because we are going to have a simple scapegoat now that 1.9 billion is paid. And there's nothing else you can actually measure it against. Because if it's paid, but there was never a monitoring tool of who's paid, which services, and everything else, we can't dig any other hole to get any information.
No, that's fine. Comrades, any questions on accruals? Before we... Comrade Chulwane?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just want to verify or to check with the acting DG in terms of the document that the CFO has just sent unto her, Chairperson. Because I really want to make sure in terms of the 82 million, that's 82 million versus the 1.3 billion. Because without that document, it's like we're talking another difference.
Thank you.